Here's an invitation to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. In downtown Los Angeles, one of America's great stores proudly originates this radio program for the nation, Favorite Story. This is the show that stars the story. And here to introduce tonight's famous favorite is one of our leading players, radio's famous Falstaff Openshaw, Alan Reed.
Good evening. There's nothing quite so fascinating as a backstage story. So I guess it was natural for the celebrated actress and author, Miss Cornelia Otis Skinner, to pick as her favorite story one of the great yarns of the theater. It's a story every actor knows, and we think it will delight all of you as it has all of us. Hans Conry joins me in bringing you The Judgment of Paris by Leonard Merrick. Maestro Sweeten, the players are ready. We await only the opening cue. Makes an actor great. Perhaps you'll have the answer after you listen to this story. The story of Kankar, the comedian, and myself, Robichaud, a comedian.
For the love of heaven, tell us, Suzanne, beautiful Suzanne, which of us will you have?
Well...
Be quiet, Kankar.
Quiet? Telling an actor to be quiet is like telling a waterfall to stop flowing.
Suzanne must have time.
Time? For years, we've both been courting her. Suzanne, I appeal to you. End our misery. If you love this fat actor better than me, say so. If you choose Robichaud, I shall take your decision with good grace. Naturally, I prefer you choose me.
My friend, my dear friend, both of you fascinate me. The fat one.
Yes.
And the thin one.
Oh. It would be just like this beautiful creature to find a combination of us, a middle-sized one. Leave us both to weep in our grease pail.
How could you ever weep? You're the funniest man in Paris.
I won't even bother to mention Pagliacci.
I sit in the audience on alternate nights and watch you. You, my dear Robichaud, are so funny that the audience howls with laughter before you open your mouth.
I bow to my loveliest critic.
And you, my blessed Kankar. You are so popular that your very silence throws the audience into convulsions.
My throat is raw from practicing no silences.
Suzanne, Kankar is right. You must choose.
Yes, we beg you, please, choose.
Very well.
But quickly, I'm holding my breath.
If you wait another second, I shall lose 10 more pounds, maybe 20.
I shall marry the one that is the better actor.
What?
But how shall we decide the point, Suzanne? Whose decision will you accept?
How can the question be settled? Who shall be the judge?
Paris shall be the judge.
Huh?
You have always said that actors are the servants of the public.
But
I will take the public's word.
But not a player on the stage, not a critic on the press has ever been able to decide that point.
No.
Oh, Suzanne, only you could have said anything so tantalizing.
You will find a way.
Suzanne, you couldn't have done this to us if you weren't so... Ah! Beautiful.
What are we going to do?
The public praises us both equally.
Besides, Paris doesn't really judge a great actor until 50 years after he's dead.
Well, I don't want to wait until 50 years after I'm dead. I'll be a much better husband now.
Kankar, let's attempt to discuss this matter logically.
Very well.
You are an actor. Therefore, you consider yourself more talented than I.
Naturally.
I, too, am an actor. Therefore, I regard you as less gifted than myself.
Well,
So much for our artistic viewpoints. Let us view this as men of the world. It's obvious that we might go on being funny forever without demonstrating the supremacy of either.
We must play tragic roles.
Of course.
I win immediately.
If they ever saw your bulk on the stage in anything resembling tragedy, they'd split with laughter.
Oh, of course, the moment they saw your scarecrow face, they'd howl at the saddest tragedy ever written.
I consider that a rude insult. And I'll do everything I can to prove you wrong and immediately.
I am equally insulted by your rude remarks about the rotundity of my figure. Oh. And I will prove to you that I am the great tragedian of the time. And immediately.
You know, of course, that I am furious with you.
And I'm furious at you.
I may never speak to you again as long as I live.
I'm certain I'll never speak to you.
Why?
This will, of course, not interfere with our friendship.
Oh, certainly not.
Announce me to the manager.
Who is it?
To be or not to be. That is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the same
trouble. That's very funny. That's wonderful.
Just a minute, please. Or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing... and
Robinson, that's the funniest idea I've ever heard of. A fat Hamlet. It's inspired. We'll do it all as a burlesque, with songs and dances, and maybe a few jugglers. They'll scream with laughter.
You've missed the idea completely.
Why, it's a natural. We'll bill you as the melancholy hippopotamus.
Oh, go to the devil.
Announce
me to the manager.
Who is it now?
Listen to me, Roxanne. Your name is a golden bell in my heart. And the sound of a dream.
Oh, no, not Sharon, no.
My soul.
Put down the cutlery, please, Tantar. And take off that silly potty nose.
The desk, I'll do the desk.
Oh, please don't die here. I've just had the carpet cleaned.
I shall fight them all, my old enemy. Cowardice.
I've got it.
We'll do a sketch with both of you.
Hamlet and Cyrano. Songs and funny patter.
Funny patter?
Oh, stick to comedy, Cathcart. Why fight it?
You would know a great Cyrano if you saw one.
I know a great comedian. And I'll be hanged if I'll ever let you do anything but make those people roar with laughter.
But save that nose as a memento, my dear fellow, of the day you made the greatest mistake of your life and lost.
By the great tragedian. Sunk.
Funk.
What are we going to do?
I'm completely baffled. Oh, blast the theater. If I didn't love it so much, I'd hate it.
Always the same way with the manager. Just because I happen to be successful in one character, I must play it all my life.
A man's greatest enemy is his own success. Failure you can overcome. The critics will roast you and scorn you, but they'll give you another chance. But once, let an audience stand up on its chairs and cheer you, you're done for, stuck in a groove, in a grave.
What are we going to do, my friend?
I never felt worse in my life.
No, I feel dreadful. I suppose we could sit here and look tragic and just wait till all Paris passes by and sees us.
All right.
I'm looking as tragic as possible. You go ahead and look tragic, too.
I've been looking tragic for the past 20 minutes.
Well, lean into it a little more. With the face. With the body. The tears, maybe.
Oh, good. Call over the waiter. I've never felt more tragic in my life. He will burst into tears when he sees me. I know.
Yes, my friend. Waiter.
Yes, Monsieur Cagat.
Look at Monsieur Robichon.
Yes. Oh, what a funny face. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen you, Monsieur Robichon. The masterpiece of funniness.
I cry real tears when he says that, funny. Get off of here. And you get no tip today. Laugh that up.
But Monsieur...
You better leave, François.
Yes.
What's to be done?
I don't know. I can't... Oh, what's the matter? Now, look there, that chap. Now, there's a tragic face.
Mm.
He's staring at us.
He's walking this way. Well, now, there's a pair of tragic eyes for you.
Gentlemen, I beg your pardon for the liberty I take, but I must talk to you.
Yes?
I want your professional advice. I'm in a position to pay a moderate fee. May I explain myself?
Some other time, please. We are concentrating at the moment on our latest role.
I'm sorry. Time is of the essence. I, too, am concentrating on my latest role. It'll be the only speaking part I have ever played. So I have been appearing for 20 years.
What? Have you been a spear carrier for 20 years?
Well, not exactly a spear, monsieur. I have been the public executioner.
No.
I have just retired. And I am now going out on a lecture tour to tell the public of the horrors of my former position.
The public executioner. The next job, yes?
My name is Jacques Roux, monsieur. I am to make my first lecture at Abbeville-sous-Bois next week, but I have what you gentlemen call stage fright.
You?
Could you give me a lesson?
A lesson?
Well, only one lesson would do it, and I would pay you well.
Sit down, monsieur.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me, what will your lecture consist of?
Well, the public seems to have a taste for horror. So I shall describe my experiences as executioner.
Magnificent! The specters of your victims pursue you even to the platform.
Well...
Your voice fails you. Your eyes start out from your head in terror.
Yes?
You gasp for mercy. The audience thrills. Women swoon. Strong men are breathless with emotion.
Yes.
What an idea! What a magnificent idea I just had! Listen... Are you known in Abbeville-sous-Bois?
No, but why?
Will anybody there recognize you?
I doubt it.
Now, how much will your profits amount to?
It's a small hall and the prices are low. Perhaps 250 francs.
How would you like to postpone your debut?
I wouldn't mind. But why?
I'll tell you why. I'll give you 500 francs to let me take your place.
I don't understand.
I've been wanting to play a tragic, a solemn role. You can explain next day that you missed your train, that you were ill. The responsibility is mine. What do you say?
It's worth twice that much, Tony.
Oh, no, sir. All the press will shout the story of my practical joke. Paris will be astounded that I, Robichaud, lecturer Jacques Roux, the executioner, and curdled an audience's blood.
Yes,
millions will talk about your lecture, too. Never would have heard of it otherwise.
Well,
I'm giving you the best publicity in the world and paying you for it besides.
Well,
not only that, I'm giving you a lesson in how to perform.
Agreed, monsieur.
Isn't it a magnificent idea, Cancar?
Magnificent. Why couldn't I have thought of that? What a part. The public executioner. How can I ever top that? What an act to follow.
I shall be tremendous. Tremendous. I shall wring the tears out of them.
Look at me. I'm crying now. Real tears. Oh, Suzanne is virtually your wife.
Before continuing with Judgment of Paris, here's a story from Bullock. You know, browsing for books among the bookstalls of Baltimore, looking at silver on Royal Street in New Orleans, choosing homespun in the hills of Tennessee, these are adventures in shopping that are possible to only a few. So make a date to come to our City of Shops soon, where the weather is always fine, where the Planning Commission has adhered to one purpose only. To build and arrange constantly to the end that your visit to Bullock's in downtown Los Angeles will be more pleasurable. We're ready for Act Two of Cornelio Skinner's favorite story, dramatized and directed by Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee. Leonard Merrick, The Judgment of Paris. Who was it who said, "Have patience with the jealousies and petulances of actors, for their hour is their eternity"? No matter. Let it suffice to say that my friend Cancar was jealous. If my performance were equal to my magnificent conception, how could he possibly surpass it? At the theater, Cancar walked around pathetically, half in a daze. For the first time in his life, he was thankful that the author hadn't given him more to do. As for myself,
Well, I never anticipated a role more keenly.
It's a fine idea.
Fine, my dear Suzanne. It's magnificent. Just think. The executioner.
Yes.
Oh, the drama of it. To play the man's part in person, in the flesh, not in a play, but in real life as himself. Oh, there's the test of a real actor. No playwright to lean on. No scenery, no props, no makeup. Well, yes, makeup. I've sent Jacques Roux to my wig maker. He's fashioned for me a duplicate of the exact hair that Monsieur Roux has on his head. The prop man has made me caps for my teeth to match his protruding upper teeth. The rest I shall do with grease paint and makeup pencils. Wrinkles around the mouth, the heaviness beneath the eyes.
I shall be there to see the fun.
Exciting, eh? Exciting. Ah, here's Tankar. Will you be there, old friend? Will you be there to see my greatest performance?
No, I will not be there. I'll read about it in the newspaper. Suzanne.
Yes, old friend.
If your first is a boy, will you name him after me?
A big house, Monsieur Roux. It seems the entire town of Abbey-sur-Bois has turned out for your lecture.
Yes, yes, sir. Close the door for a moment.
Certainly. Are you nervous, Monsieur Roux?
Oh, no, certainly not.
After all, a man with your background, you've had some jobs to do in your day, eh, Monsieur Roux?
Yes, I have.
I will tell you something. A great honor.
Oh?
The Marquis of this town is in the audience tonight. He rarely attends such gatherings.
Oh.
He's an old man, but very rich. The richest in the entire area.
Well, I am honored.
It's time. Time to begin your lecture, Monsieur Roux.
Very well. Throw open the door.
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to present to you the famous executioner of Paris, Monsieur Jacques Roux.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All eyes were riveted on me as I began. They gazed at me half horrified, half charmed.
I worked hard at the time. As a matter of fact, you might say I worked my head off.
I began with a joke. They tittered, then glanced at one another with an apologetic air, as if shocked at such a monster's daring to amuse them. But I did it deliberately, for contrast. Building. Ah, but slowly. Gradually, I began to make them shiver. I saw the shiver pass among the crowd like a wave breaking on the beach. Their faces were white as I told them stories of the condemned. I recited crimes in detail.
Perform official murder.
I had them there.
I am remorseful. I weep. I cringe at the nightmares.
They followed my every intonation.
The nightmares of all those.
They were in the palm of my hand.
When I stood in the whiteness of the dawn.
Good.
To perform my horrible duty. I remember one young man. Victor Lesueur, his name was. A fine-looking boy.
I told them about his many criminals I had executed. He had executed, rather. Like one you told me about. A young man named Victor Lesueur. And I told them that women fainted. Strong men wept. And I built and built like only an actor can do, feeling the audience in his hand, playing with it, until I shrieked my remorse
to me. Listen to me. I have killed 1,000 men. I am a murderer.
You might have heard a pin drop. There was no applause when I finished. That set the seal on my success. I bowed and withdrew amid tense silence until, with a rush, the representatives of the press sped forth to proclaim Jacques Roux an unparalleled sensation. Thank you.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh, Susan, you liked it. You liked it.
And when will you reveal your true identity?
Tomorrow, sometime tomorrow. Oh. After all the newspaper accounts have been printed.
I beg your pardon, Monsieur Rouge.
Yes, yes.
A thrilling thing has happened. The Marquis has asked that you be his guest for refreshments at his villa.
Oh, of course, of course. Suzanne, forgive me, but I must visit this Marquis. It will only prove further what a great effect I made. I shall see you back in Paris.
Monsieur Robert, yes? Order me a carriage. I shall go visit the Marquis.
Won't you sit down, Monsieur Jacques Roule?
Thank you. Thank you, Your Grace.
I rarely leave this villa, Monsieur Roux, but your lecture tonight fascinated me, and you did not disappoint me. It was most interesting. I shall never forget it.
You do me great
honor, Monsieur. No, not at all. Oh, here, you have had a wearying session. Allow me to pour you a bit of refreshment.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
There you are, Monsieur Roux.
Won't you join me?
My health does not permit me to partake at this hour of the night. So I'm a poor host. My age is my excuse. You look at me strangely, Monsieur Roux. This wrinkled skin, yellow as parchment. I am 89 years old.
Monsieur, I drink to your long life and your good health.
Thank you, Monsieur Roux.
Excellent.
Thank you.
To be the guest of Monsieur le Marquis is a privilege, an honor which...
Oh, I shall soon be in the Republic where all men are equal. Monsieur Roux, you referred in your lecture to the execution of a lad called Victor Lefeur.
Yes.
He died bravely.
Yes, as I said, like a hero.
Oh, that was fine. That was as it should be. You have never known a prisoner to die more bravely.
I shall always recall his courage with respect.
Yes, but did you respect it at the time? Did you spare him all needless suffering?
Well, there is no suffering. It is very sweet.
I refer to mental suffering. Cannot you realize the emotions of an innocent man condemned to a shameful death?
They're innocent? Why, they all say that they're innocent.
Yes, I do not doubt it. Victor, however, spoke the truth. I know it. You see, he was my son. My only son. The only soul I loved on earth. Yes, he was innocent, Monsieur. And it was you who butchered him. He died by your hand.
But I was only the instrument of the law. I wasn't personally responsible.
You gave a fine lecture tonight, Monsieur Roux. I agreed with all you said in it. You are a murderer.
Monsieur.
I hope the refreshment is to your taste, Monsieur Roux. Do not spare it.
Refreshment?
It is poison.
Poison?
In 10 minutes, you will be dead.
No! No, for the love of heaven, listen to me. You had the wrong man.
No, I think not. And now you will suffer as he suffered.
No.
Let us see if you do so with as much courage as my son.
But I am not the executioner. Look at me. Help me. Send for help.
Help! Help me!
You may shout all you like.
Help!
My servants have been dismissed.
Monsieur!
As for myself, I shall not raise a hand to help
but,
you.
But, monsieur.
I have had my revenge on you for the death of my son.
No, no, monsieur, it's been a mistake. I am the wrong man.
Oh, no, I think not,
look,
monsieur.
Look, I will prove it to you. I am just an actor playing a part. You see, I rip off his wig. I take off his teeth. I rub off his grease paint. See, I am Robichon, the actor. Help me. Help me, monsieur.
Yes, monsieur. And see, I too shall take off a wig and some teeth. I am Kanko, the actor.
And now I must decide which of you is the better actor.
We await your decision, Suzanne.
Yes, Suzanne.
It is simple. Monsieur Robichon gave a great performance and fooled hundreds of people in the audience. But Tang Kao wins, for he fooled another actor.
Been listening to The Judgment of Paris by Leonard Merrick, the favorite story of Miss Cornelia Otis Skinner. Favorite Story is brought to you each Tuesday at 7 by Bullock's in downtown Los Angeles, one of America's great stores. Remember, you can go from the best in comedy with Bob Hope and Fibber McGee and Molly to the best in drama on Favorite Story. Our cast tonight featured Alan Reed as Robichon, Hans Conried as Tenkar, and Mary Shipp, Louis Van Ruten, and Wilms Herbert. Original music was composed and conducted by Claude Sweeten. This was a Lawrence and Lee production. Bullock proudly originated for the nation. This is your host, Bob Frisell, saying good night to you from Bullock's.